We're going to do things a little differently today in that I'm making the communion a part of the message. Today is going to be, whether you're ready or not, a time of recalibration, of recommitment to vows, to renewing vows that if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've already made, but these are going to be things that I want to remind us of, because as we think about giving glory to God in 2020, we need to often take time to step back and ask ourselves, where are we spiritually? And what have we committed ourselves to as far as our relationship with God and our commitment to His church? And then look at that and evaluate, you know, how am I doing and what do I need to do differently? And so I want to take some time for us to focus on that, because we cannot accomplish God's will or give glory to God unless we are living according to the scriptures and holding to the standard that God has called us to. Now, I know in my own personal life, the reason I have a quiet time is to meditate on where I am and where I need to go in order to be the man that God has called me to be, in order to fulfill the commitment that I made to God. And in April 26, it would have been 45 years ago that I made that commitment. And so today I have for the church six questions. The right answer to every question is the same. The right answer is yes. Or if yes is not good for you, you can say affirmative. So let's practice this. First of all, everybody say yes. Okay, that's good. And I know there are always a few rebels who say, if someone tells me to say yes, I'm not going to say yes because I don't do what people tell me to do. But that's not what this is about. Or you can say affirmative, all right? And here are the six questions that I need you to answer today. These are the six questions. Now, if you're a Christian, you've already answered these. But I want to make sure that your answer today is the same as it was the day you got baptized into Christ. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Is the Bible your standard for living? Are you committed to the body of Christ? Are you willing to commit to relationships for personal growth and maturity in Christ? Are you giving sacrificially to God and His church? And are you committed to seeking and saving the lost? Those are not difficult questions. But the answer for anyone who claims to be a disciple of Jesus Christ should be absolutely yes, with no reservation. And Kevin Davis in his zeal has been saying yes to every question. You can't hear him, but I can hear him because he's like on the fourth row there. So I appreciate the encouragement there, my brother. But think about it. The challenge with most churches is that people go from being true disciples of Jesus to just becoming religious people. And they have a form of religion, but the power of the cross and the execution of true discipleship begins to wane and waver. And all of us at times in our lives need to step back and re-examine ourselves and say, how am I doing spiritually? Especially as life gets a little bit more complicated and you have different obligations in life. As you go on to maturity in life, sometimes you can lose your focus on what should be the most important thing in your life, and that's your relationship with God. And the Bible makes clear with no doubt that the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That there should be no doubt about that in our minds. So before we take some time to stop and meditate and really ask ourselves where we are spiritually, let's answer this first question. This first question, is Jesus Lord of your life? Now, we know what the answer should be. But what is the answer for you this morning? It's really frustrating when you try to get people to do something that they say they've already committed themselves to. And that's not the way it should be in the church. If everyone has decided to make Jesus Lord, yes, we have our ups and our downs and our struggles and our temptations, and we have our valleys and our mountains, and that's just life. But at the end of the day, there should be no question that Jesus is the most important thing in your life. And that as people look at your life and they look at how you conduct yourself and they look at what you prioritize in life, it should be clear. I love Jesus more than anything else in this world. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25 said, the Bible says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, see, Jesus always had crowds. But what Jesus wanted to know is who in the crowd is truly a follower. And we have a crowd this morning. And just being in the crowd doesn't make you a disciple. And the Lord knows those who are his. And so he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. A parallel scripture to this would be found over in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus says, if anyone loves his father or mother, his children, or even his own life more than me, cannot be my disciple. Matthew 10:34. And so Jesus needs to know, am I first in your life? Am I Lord and Master, not just someone you associate with, not just another religious person that you speak about, but do I rule and reign in your heart? And do you follow my commands? Jesus needs to be the captain of the ship. And there can be no exceptions to everyone who claims to be a disciple, making Jesus Lord and Master. How do you know if Jesus is truly Lord of your life? Well, one of the ways you know is you surrender to his will, whether you feel like it or not. Everybody has good days where they feel like doing what God wants them to do, where you want to study your Bible and you want to help other people. But there are plenty of days when we don't feel like doing it, and we don't want to do it. And it's on those days that you decide or you reveal whether Jesus is Lord of your life or not. Let me make it clear this morning. You cannot do everything you want to do and still be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's just not enough hours in the week to make that work. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said, if anyone would come after me, he must do what, church? Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That means he must crucify himself daily. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his very self or his very soul? If we're going to be true disciples, if we're going to be the church that Jesus calls us to be, every member must deny themselves in order for that to happen. And we're going to talk about a number of things today that fall into that category of self-denial. is Jesus Lord? Now, Jesus understood that many people, and I can't always comprehend why this is so, but it just seems like a lot of people want to say they're Christians and that Jesus is Lord when by their actions he is not. And I don't understand that, but it just seems like there's some comfort zone where we can say I'm a Christian or I think I'm going to heaven or whatever, but the Lord wants to know by your actions, are you a true disciple of Jesus? And it doesn't mean that we don't have off days or bad days or we don't get knocked down from time to time. But when you get knocked down, you get back up and you recommit to Jesus. And we all sin and we all fall short, so none of us are perfect. But when I sin, because Jesus is Lord, I repent and I recommit myself to him. So Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, and for some reason, Jesus felt like he had to say this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I was part of the Westchester region of the New York City Church of Christ and Sam Powell was my minister. Do you not know me, Lord? He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We are not going to beg anybody to be a disciple of Jesus. It's an honor to be a disciple of Jesus. It's an honor to have had your sins washed away by the blood of Christ and have the Spirit living in you. It's an honor to be a part of this fellowship. And if you're going to be a part of this fellowship, then we've got to call you to the standard, not our standard, but to the standard of Jesus. And Jesus expects to be Lord of all. Let me ask you, is Jesus Lord of your time? If people looked at your life this week, is Jesus a priority? You sacrifice time both to be with Jesus, to obey Jesus, to follow Jesus, to strive to be like Jesus? Is he Lord of your time? Is Jesus Lord of your career? The Lord has blessed many of us with great careers, and sometimes we turn that career around and we make it Lord instead of Jesus. When he's the one who blessed you with it. Is he Lord of your career? That means that I do this to give glory and honor to Jesus. And the people on my job, they know where I stand with Jesus. I'm not a secret disciple on the job. Is Jesus Lord of your marriage? Jesus has to be Lord of your marriage. In any marriage, there's conflict. But how do you resolve conflict? You don't do what you want to do. You do what Jesus wants you to do. And I've had many conflicts in my marriage. I know that's hard for you to imagine. But I have to go and do what Jesus tells me to do. And Jesus says, go and ask for forgiveness and get reconciled. Says, well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter what I feel. Jesus is Lord. And that's what gets me through. Doing what he calls me to do and not just what I want to do. Is Jesus Lord of your family? Do your children know that the Lord is the most important thing in your life? Do they see it by your commitment to the word and to prayer and to the body of Christ? Kids know. They know. Do they know that the reason that daddy or mommy disciplines them is because Jesus is Lord? And I'm doing what the scriptures command because I love you and I want to help you to grow up and to be a human being that gives glory to God. So I'm going to help keep you on the straight and narrow path and raise you in the training and instruction of the Lord. Is Jesus Lord of your finances? Do the first fruits of what you make or inherit go to the Lord? Is he Lord of it? He's the one that blessed you with it. He's the one that should be blessed by it. Is Jesus Lord of your decisions? And we all have to make very important decisions in life from time to time. But is that decision based on what would give glory to God? You know, when you're offered a new job in some obscure place, is your first thought, is there a church there where I can continue to serve Jesus? Before you send your kids off to college, even though they got the scholarship and the money is there, is your first thought, is there a church there where they can continue to be in the kingdom of God and be influenced by the word of God? Because what's more important to me is not the degree, but that they know the Lord. Is Jesus Lord? Now, Jesus asked a very important question in Luke 6, verse 46. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Luke 6, 46. I don't want to call Jesus Lord and not do what he says. He tells me what to do because that's what's best for me. I want to give you a vision as we prepare to commune together. A vision of a church where every member has decided every day to make Jesus Lord. That's powerful. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it means that I'm striving to please Jesus with all my heart. You're striving to please Jesus with all your heart. And when all of us are doing that, Jesus is lifted up, God is glorified, and God begins to bless in amazing ways. That's what we're striving for here today. So I think we need to take some time to recalibrate, because if we're really honest with ourselves, we've not all decided to make Jesus Lord. If we counted the cost with you today, I had the cost counted with me 45 years ago. And the question is, if those costs were counted with me today, and that's what Jesus went on to do later on in Luke 14, if we counted the cost with you today, and you know the list of things we would be asking you, you know, are you committed to all the services? Are you committed to daily Bible study? Are you committed to the lost? Are you committed? All these other questions we're going to answer in a minute. How would you measure up? Would we even consider baptizing you today as we count at the cost and ask you to make Jesus the Lord of your life? You see, we should be more in love and more committed with Jesus today than we ever were when we first got started. So as we commune together, I want you to think about your heart, where you are in your walk with Jesus. No one else, nothing else. Jesus died, gave his life with the vision of having a people that would be in love with him. That's why he did it. He did it because his eyes were on you and his eyes were on me. And he believed that it was worth it, because he believes that you're worth it. If he looked at us and he had to do it all over again, would it be worth it for you? I want the Lord to be able to say yes. If I had to do it all over again, Sam, I would do it because of how you have responded to my sacrifice for you. Let's pray together. Our God and Father in heaven, forgive us of the times that we fall short. But God, help us to see your amazing love, your amazing grace, your amazing sacrifice, because you wanted nothing more than for us to know you and to have a relationship with you and to have the hope of eternal life. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, God, that we have someone that we can go to in this life who can give us direction, who can give us purpose, who can give us meaning, who can give us peace, who can give us comfort, who can give us strength. Father, we thank you that Jesus is Lord and Master. And we pray today that we would recommit ourselves to surrendering to Him fully, knowing that Your ways are better than our ways. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the blood that was shed. Thank You for the vision that You have for every soul in this room. And as we take this cup and as we break this bread, we give our hearts and our souls completely to You. And we praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. At this point, Sam's coming up with part two. Here's my plan. My plan's a simple plan. And that is for every disciple to be a true disciple of Jesus. If we do that, we can do whatever we want to do. And so the first plan is that our hearts are in the right place. And really, that's good news. Because if you ever get to a place in your life where your heart is no longer convicted, that's dangerous. Now, you want to come to church, and yes, you want to be inspired, but if you're like me, there are times when you know you need to be called higher. And so I'm going to go back through these six questions, because if we're unified in Christ and committed to Jesus as Lord and committed to the mission of Jesus, nothing will be impossible for us. We will be able to do whatever we want to do. The challenge oftentimes is getting everybody on board. And no, I'm not expecting everyone to be at the same place at the same time. And really, I'm not even talking about who's weak or who's strong, because weakness or strength is not a determination of commitment. What we're looking for is everybody to obey what the Lord says, and that's to give our hearts to God and to give our hearts to one another. So I don't know if you guys are going to have to help me. Is this thing, you're going to help me out here, or are we having technical difficulties? We good? Okay, there we go. Thank you very much. Geneva does a great job of keeping things on point, so amen. So next, and I'm going to hit these real quick. Next question, is the Bible your standard for living? We all know what the answer should be to that. It goes without saying, we can't be the church without the Word of God being the thing that we look to guide us. We're not a church without the Word. We're not here just to try to be just good people. We're here to try to obey God's word and to live by a biblical standard, which is higher than the world standard. Jesus says in John 12, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save it. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. And so this is a scripture that we've used many, many times to help other people. We've got to make sure we're using it on ourselves. 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Listen to me. You cannot be an effective, growing, maturing Christian without devotion to the Word of God on a daily basis. Won't work. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If we are a church where every member is committed to the Word of God, how awesome is that? So if I ask the question, is the Bible your standard for living? What's the affirmative answer? Amen. The scriptures have to be the authority in your life. If God commands it, I obey it. We cannot help anyone be a better disciple if the word is not the standard and authority for their lives. And we have tried. So many of you have tried to help people, and you give them these great analogies and these great illustrations, but you miss the heart of it. Are you living by the Bible? Are you living by the Word of God? Then let me show you what the Word says. Now you need to do that. That's where the authority comes from. And so all of us have to submit to that. That's what I want us to recommit ourselves to. And you say, well, Sam, I'm already there, man. I'm with you. Well, then keep on doing what you're doing. All right, next question. Are you willing to commit to the body of Christ? You know, this coming month, we're going to change our midweek schedule. And at the end of service, we're going to post all the changes for March and then going into April. But we're going to have a whole new midweek schedule. And here's what it's going to be. And like I said, these will be posted. You don't have to try to write them all down now. But on March 10th, we're going to ask all the married adults to meet for midweek. And we're going to provide child care for that is by faith, is what I understand. And March 17th will be the men's midweek. March 24th will be the women's midweek. And then on March 31st will be the Edge men and women's midweek. I think campus is they're in there too. Camp, we love the campus, so we don't want to leave them out. And then starting April 1st, we're going to go back to the marriage. And then the second Tuesday will be the men. And then the third Tuesday will be the women. And then the fourth Tuesday will be for Edge men and women or singles. And then whenever we have a fifth Tuesday in a month, that will be for our leaders, our leadership meeting. For all of those who are leading life groups, Bible talks, and we're still working through all that. So that will be posted, but we're changing. And here's the greatest challenge. We're asking all the married adults to come together for a midweek service. So Sam, why are you doing that? Because a lot of our marriages are flat jacked up. And we need to do something about it. We're not just having this meeting because it's a good idea. We can't win the world if we're not building great marriages and families. We can't practice hospitality if we don't have... I mean, how are you going to invite somebody over to your house when you and your wife are arguing back in the bedroom while they're sitting down there waiting for dinner? How's that going to work? How's that going to work? We got to fix this stuff. And so we're not just going to act like it's not real. We got marriage problems. All right, here's some scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12. You know what it says? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot take to the feet, I don't need you. Look, we need each other. You cannot be a mature, strong Christian without other Christians in your life. Christianity is a one another religion. And we've got people in this room, you're independent. You do what you want to do when you feel like it. We hardly see you at midweek. Praise God, we see you on Sunday. Some of you don't hardly ever go to a life group, a small group. You will not grow spiritually like that. You got to recalibrate. Says, well, Sam, I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. Then you're too busy. You don't have to be a part of this church. You don't have to be on the membership roll. That's the freedom of choice. But don't say you're going to do it and then don't do it. You're just frustrating yourself. And you're frustrating the rest of me. And you're definitely frustrating me. Don't do that to me. The Bible says, make your leaders work a joy. Come on, people. Help a brother out. Show up for church. The Bible says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds in Hebrews 10. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. When you just go from Sunday to Sunday, who's helping you deal with temptation and struggle on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday? You can't live this Christian life without having people in your life during the rest of the week. It won't work. We don't have any Superman Christians in here. You need relationship. Are you in a small group? Says, well, what's the big deal with the small group? It's for personal growth. You need to be connected to a group of people. Are you seeking first the kingdom? Oh, yes. I know that there are other things. Some of us, we're trying to get our master's degree. We're trying to get our doctorate. You know, some of us, we're trying to work out our careers and get all these things. Look. When I was a Christian, and there was a time when I wasn't in the ministry, and whenever I took a job, I told the people, look, Wednesday night, that's when we had midweek. I said, I got to be at church. And I remember I was working for Coca-Cola, wasn't making minimum wage. I was making minimum wage. I wasn't going to stay there late for minimum wage when I could be at church. And even if it wasn't minimum wage, I told them, come 6:30, I'm out of here, because church was at 7:30. That gave me enough time to make it. And there were times when I could feel the eyes on me. What, he's leaving? I left every time. And did not even, felt no guilt whatsoever. Because Jesus was Lord of my life. And now as some of us move forward and our lives are more complex and more complicated, show Jesus that he's first. Doggone it, if Chick-fil-A can close down on Sunday, you can make it to the services. We need every disciple to be under the eldership of this church. Kevin Finnerty is one of the elders. Larry Craig, Cedric, Boaz in Queens, Al Baker in Manhattan, Larry Craig in New Jersey, Lewis Livingston in New Jersey, and Mark Sanders up in Hudson Valley. Those are our elders. And you need to submit to the authority of the elders. And the elders are calling all of us to be committed to the body of Christ and everybody to be committed to a small group. That's how we get this done. And no, the elders aren't perfect, but if we're going to get the job done, we've got to understand that we submit first to Jesus, then we submit to the organization or the structure that God has given us in the scriptures. And that is to work together with our leadership to get the job done to God's glory. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but it's an honor to be under authority. I sit with the elders. It's an honor to be there. It's a safe place for me. Because now I've got people overseeing my life and helping me to stay within the boundaries that I need to be in. You need that. We're going to appoint deacons prayerfully this next month. And deacons aren't elders or junior elders, but they're servants. And we're going to put before you spiritual men who are going to help us get this job done because it's biblical. When you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so we want to be a church that is under the authority of Jesus and the word of God. God will bless that. So are you willing to commit yourself? I didn't say, did you used to be a part, a thriving member of the fellowship? I'm not talking about what you did back in the 90s or the early 2000s. I'm talking about 2020. All right? That's what we're talking about. Let me get through the rest of this. Are you willing to commit to relationships for discipleship and personal growth? You know, there are people who sometimes have nobody in their life. You can't be a Christian with nobody in your life. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:28, him we proclaim, counseling and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Our goal is for you to mature in Christ. People are not just trying to get in your business and mess around with you. We ain't got time for that. I don't want to know all your business or all your issues. I got my own issues. But I'm willing to get in there and help you to mature in Christ because it gives God glory so you can then help someone else. Don't become a dead-end Christian where you get discipling but you don't give it. Where you want input and love and encouragement, but then you're not responsible for giving it to anyone else. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We got to go on to maturity. And some of us, we've been in the same place too long. Same place. And some of us, our attitude toward leadership is like, well, no, not for me. Well, if you got the ability and the talent, why wouldn't you not use it to the glory of God? Man, we go on some of your jobs and everybody acts like you're the top executive. And you come to church and you want to sit on the back row and do nothing. Are you using your abilities for the Lord? Are you using your gifts for the Lord? Well, how do you do that? You get people in there who help you to grow and mature so that you can advance. And as we mature, our influence in the church and impact in the church should grow, not diminish. Is your heart tender? It's hard to try to disciple somebody who doesn't want you to help, who won't listen. I tell you right now, I don't get with people or keep getting with people who are not going to listen to me. Why? Why do that? But if we get every disciple in here with a tender heart, see, how does God speak to you? He speaks to you through His Word, but He also speaks to you through other people. And I believe today He's speaking to you through me. And that's a miracle in and of itself, that God would use me to tell you anything. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The reason that I've been able to make it 45 years as a Christian, and my wife has been able to make it 46 years as a Christian, is because we've always let people in to help us to grow and mature in Christ. And I praise God for my good friend Wyndham Shaw, who's gone on to be with the Lord, but he helped me with so many things, and especially with my character. And I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't let him in, and if he didn't keep coming in to help me to grow and mature. Who is that for you? If you had to write someone's name down, these are the people, and it shouldn't just be one person. We need multiple people in our lives. Don't ask one person to be all that for you. It's too much of a burden. You will lose a friend eventually if you keep that up. I got to finish this. Do I get the relationship thing? What's the answer? Are you willing to commit to relationships for discipleship and maturity? What's the answer? Okay, I just want to make sure I got the answer. What's your answer, Kevin? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure the elders with me. I feel like I should go down and call everybody's name out, starting right here. George, just call all you. See who's going to answer. You need to ask somebody. Let me move on. Are you willing to give sacrificially to God and His church? What's the answer? You know, this is a nice building. It ain't free. I can tell you that right now. And your giving is to God. You know, I've had people come up to me and tell me, you should do what I tell you because I pay your salary. And I'm like, really? That's not the way I see it. You give to God, God pays my salary. And it's usually the people who complain the most about giving are giving the least. I give to God. And God takes care of the rest. But, and here's the thing, church. We give, we try to give more each year. Every fall, we try to increase our contribution, if not just by a little bit. Because God keeps blessing us. And so we keep trying to give more and more. And this year, I hope to give more for missions than I gave the year before. Why? Because God has been blessing me more and more and more. And I can't outgive him. Every time I give, he gives. Really, oftentimes it's Cynthia giving and giving away everything, but God keeps bringing it back. He's a good God. But are you giving? Are you giving sacrificially? Are you giving consistently? You know, there are people in this church that do amazing. You know, you may think, man, I'm giving a lot. I just want to tell you, there are people in this ministry that give $500, $400, $300 every week. every week. We just got audited by IRS because they didn't believe that we were giving what we were giving. And my mama saw it, she wouldn't believe it either. But it's what God has blessed us to do, and we plan to do it more and more and more. And really, we all have to have this commitment to give. Did I give you any scriptures on this? Okay, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. That's all you need to know right there. That one alone will do it. Whoever sows sparingly will also do what, church? Reap sparingly. But each man should give as he's deciding his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. If you feel this is under compulsion, if you don't have a heart to give, keep your money. Keep it. God will provide. He's always provided. Keep it. But no matter where you are, everybody should give something. Even if it's a dollar, everybody should give something. Kevin just used the great example of the widow. And it wasn't the amount, it was the heart behind it. And that's what God is looking for. Then finally, are you willing to commit to seeking and saving the lost? The more time I spend with people, the more lost I see that they are. And the more grateful I am for what God has given me. I was 18 years old when somebody reached out to me. And thank God my heart was open. And people studied the Bible with me, and I became a Christian when I was 18 years old. And here I am today. I'm 63 years old. And it's the best decision I ever made in my life. The best decision I ever made. But it wouldn't have happened if a stranger had not approached me. And I've told you the story before, but I was sitting in my dorm room, and he came to invite my roommate, Jerry Bruton. And Jerry and I went to high school together, and we were on the track team together. And he was a superstar, and I was just a guy, just happened to move over there from one dorm to hang out with him so we could party. And God had another plan. And it was a white guy inviting me to a soul talk. And I was like, why is a white guy inviting me to a soul talk? He ain't got no soul. I got soul. Why is he going? I should be. It's like, soul talk? I don't know why you're going, but I'll be there. And I went. But they weren't talking about, you know, the soul train soul. They were talking about the inner soul. And it was exactly what I needed. I didn't even know I needed it because I was searching. I didn't even know I was searching. But it taught me then that You, after I became a Christian, just reach out to people. Because you never know who's open. And even now when I go places and I'm thinking and I have to work through, are they open? Are they not open? Or what? And then I go, no, stop. Someone just invited you. Just invite them. And you never know what will happen. But we've all got to have this commitment to wanting to help people come to know Jesus, because at the end of it all, the only thing that will matter is, are you right with God or not? There will only be two places to land, and that's heaven or hell. And if it's dependent on you to get the people in your sphere of influence to heaven, what's going to happen? Do they have a chance? And so I've been initiating with men. And I got with a guy last week and I said, look, let's have lunch. Let's have breakfast. And then during the talk, I said, have you ever studied the Bible? And he says, no. And I said, would you like to study the Bible? He says, sure I would. Now, when I'm at the gym and he's around all the other guys, he won't say yes. But one-on-one, I got him. I got him where I want him. Because it's four against one. It's me, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. We got him. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, and me. And it's like, I'm going to keep doing that. Because I need to be involved in seeking and saving the lost. What does 1 Timothy 2:1 say? It says that I urge them, first of all, that request, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings and all those in authority. Yes, we should pray for our government. We should pray for our president. We should pray for our president. We should. He sure could use the prayers for, in my opinion, pray for him. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and authority. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. All women to be saved. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. And I tell you, if there's one area that we need to repent of in the New York City Church of Christ, it is this area. There are approximately 2,800 members in the New York City Church of Christ. And last year, we saw 131 people baptized. And praise God for the 131. But there should be so many more coming to Jesus. So many more. And thank God for every soul that became a disciple in Westchester. Praise God. But as I look at it, so few disciples are involved in the mission of seeking and saving the lost. And we have to seek them. We can't just go around thinking that because of the radiance of the Spirit, they're going to come up to us. Now, I've had that happen to me a couple of times. I was in Sam's and, you know, there was a lady having an issue with another person. And I stepped in and go, no, they didn't mean to do that. And she said, you're different. Are you a man of God? And I went, yes. She said, I could tell. And that doesn't happen to me a lot. But that's not how I'm trying to share my faith. That was just a weird thing right there. I'm sure she said that to a lot of people. Are you... The Spirit seems to be upon you. That's not the most effective way to share your faith. There are only two kinds of people in this world. Those that you know and those that you don't know. The first week as a Christian, I shared with everybody I knew. Only thing that was left was the people that I don't know. And on this earth, there are millions of people that I do not know. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. And the problem with some of us is we're stuck on the people that we do know and they're not even open. So start sharing with the ones that you don't know. And so at our men's midweek, we're going to be talking about this, how to make friends in Jesus. Some of us, we've forgotten, we've just gotten so weird, we don't even know how to make a friend. And you can't make friends with all this religious, spiritual talk. It won't work. You just can't be using a Jesus language and expect to reach real men because they're not going to want to do... What? Well, I mean, and look, I run into guys like that and they turn everybody off. Because they're not trying to save lost people. They're just trying to find out who the other religious people are. Jesus didn't even spend his time bothering with all the religious people. He was the friend of sinners. We need to become the friend of sinners. And what does Matthew 28 tell us? Therefore, go and make disciples what? Of all nations. Black, white, Hispanic, and whatever else is left. Some of Asian, thank you. Some of us, we look at certain types of people because they're different from us and we go, I know they're not open. How do you know? How do you know that? How do you know that? Now, God made you a certain way because there are going to be people that you naturally are able to connect with than others. That's just life, okay? Right? But you still need to be looking to save all men and women. You never know how God may use you. And so this year, I want to see, by God's power, Westchester take it to a whole nother level. Because, you know, as we think about areas we need to grow in, you know, we need more people to help us in campus ministry. We need more people to help us in teen ministry. We need more people to help us with this and help us. And the answer to those questions are bringing souls to Christ. You using your gifts and talents and us helping more and more people come to Jesus. I believe the world is lost. And the only answer is Jesus Christ. He knows I'm finishing. Or is that a sign I need to finish? Okay, please do. Please do. Now, on those six questions that I presented to you, if you're sitting here and you're going, well, I'm not sure I've made Jesus Lord of my life. The Bible is my standard, and I don't know. Commitment to the body of Christ, commitment to relationships, commitment to sacrificial giving, seeking and saving law. If there's any question, the real question is, are you willing and ready to repent? And I've had to repent in these areas on more than one occasion. And repentance is good. If you know you need to repent, then you go before God and you repent. And you start doing this for Him and for no one else. And if all of us make that commitment together, listen to me, church. God will blow us away with what He will do by the power of His Spirit. Looking forward to the midweeks, looking forward to 2020 being one of the greatest years in the history of the Westchester region of the New York City Church of Christ. Here's an elder.